God reveals what we need to know when we need to know it. And as we come to this 13th chapter of the book of Revelation, we see that the Antichrist is going to be understood a little bit better. And God wants this specific prophetic information about the Antichrist read and understood and talked about. And so we see point number one, the beast's appearance. Look at verse 1 with me of chapter 13. Now, and I saw a beast rising out of the sea with 10 horns and 7 heads with 10 diadems on its horns and blasphemous names on its heads. So we've got this Antichrist. He's a beast. Daniel received this prophetic vision of the Antichrist. He's also identified him as terrifying, as dreadful, as a very strong beast. Daniel 7, verse 7, God identifies him the same way here when he surfaces. He'll be wild, vicious, untamable, uncontrollable. He's going to be ferocious. And he's a Gentile. We may observe that the beast came up out of the sea, and that expression, out of the sea, is one that clearly indicates that he's a Gentile, not a Jew. We learn that this reference to the seas and waters refers to Gentile nations worldwide. Then he's also going to be a dominant political leader. He's got 10 horns, and we know from Daniel 7:24 and from Revelation 17:12 that these 10 horns refer to 10 major world leaders who give their power to this Antichrist. He'll have so much power that he will be the law of the world for 3.5 years. And this Antichrist will be complete, have dictatorial political control. Those 7 heads, 7 diadems, ten diadems represent complete political control of the world. And the 7 heads perhaps have to do with the 7 continents of Africa and Europe, Asia, North America, South America, Australia, and Antarctica. But we're not sure. We just know that this Antichrist will have high position of world royalty. This Antichrist will be viewed as king royalty over the world. That diadem was a crown of royalty. And he'll have blasphemous names. That word blasphemy means to speak against God. And we know this from Daniel, that this Antichrist will be a blasphemous, arrogant braggart. And we know from Paul that he will exalt himself above everything that has been called God or every object of worship. So we learn here in Revelation that every name and title that's given to him will be blasphemous. In fact, it'll be a name that is designed to be against God. And this Antichrist, he's going to be a vicious political leader. Look at the first part of verse 2. And the beast that I saw was like a leopard, and its feet were like a bear's, its mouth like a lion's mouth. And so he's directly empowered. This vicious political leader, there's these animals that are listed here, and it's the simile there of the likes. And these are the same ones that were used in imagery given by Daniel. And they describe power that would dominate and destroy Israel, or look to destroy it. Greece was the leopard, Medo-Persia was the bear, and Babylon was the lion. And then Antichrist will have all the traits combined. He'll attack swiftly like Greece, the leopard, and will devour like Medo-Persia, the bear, and will be vicious killer like Babylon, the lion. He'll be the most savage political leader to ever have existed. And then we see the beast's authority. He's directly empowered by Satan. Look at that second part of verse 2. And to it the dragon gave his power and his throne and great dominion. So the Antichrist will be directly empowered by Satan himself. Satan says he has unusual power that is not his own, or Daniel says that. And we see that in Daniel 8, verse 24. Paul said all his activity is empowered by Satan. He'll be able to perform signs and false wonders by the power of Satan, 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 9. So everything about this beast will be satanic. And then we see the third point, the beast's possible assassination. Look at the first part of verse 3. One of its heads seemed to have a mortal wound, but its mortal wound was healed. And so he'll be directly empowered by Satan, but he'll ultimately be resurrected from the dead. We see as verse 3 continues, and the whole earth marveled as they followed the beast. It's clearly stated that this beast will receive a deadly wound to the head that will lead to some form of miraculous healing that will please all the people in the world. This first view makes us look at and try to figure out, because some say it refers to the dead Roman Empire that is miraculously revived by the Antichrist. Some say it refers to a dead political leader who will miraculously be brought back to life. And some say it refers to the Antichrist who will be killed and Satan brings him back to life. That first view makes a miraculous healing of that of a nation. The last two make a miraculous healing of a human. And that first interpretation is based on the fact that just one head is wounded and yet the beast does not appear to die. So the view is that even the Roman Empire appears to be dead and dormant. It still has been in existence and will be brought back to life. The second and third interpretations are the easiest to contextually and grammatically defend, because the fatal wound in verse 3 is given to a person. He has personal pronouns of his and not it. So we see that this is going to be something that we can look to in the future. Some people sometimes have looked at this and said that maybe it's someone brought back to dead, such as Caligula or Nero or Hitler or even John F. Kennedy. But we believe the key to proper contextual interpretation is Revelation 13:12. The false prophet, who we will meet next time, demands that people worship the first beast, the Antichrist, whose fatal wound was healed. Somewhere in the early days of the tribulation, the Antichrist will suffer a mortal wound to the head, and at this point, Satan will see to it that he comes back to life, and the whole earth was amazed and followed after the beast. And so we see then, point number 4, the beast's adulation. Look at verse 4. And they worshipped the dragon, for he had given his authority to the beast, and they worshipped the beast, saying, who is like the beast? Who can fight against it? The Antichrist is Satan's man. He'll promote Satan worship. That's what Satan has always wanted. He's wanted to be worshipped as God. Isaiah 14:12-14. The Antichrist will see that the world worships Satan with direct power from Satan. So it's not a coincidence that it is going on and will continue. And the Antichrist will promote himself to be worshipped. We learned from 2 Thessalonians 2, verse 4, that the Antichrist will sit in the temple in Jerusalem and will demand to be worshipped as God. He will actually display himself and say he is God. Daniel says he will magnify himself above everything that is called God. Daniel 11, verse 37. Then we see point number 5, the beast's arrogance. Look at verses 5 and 6. He says, and the beast was given a mouth uttering haughty and blasphemous words, and it was allowed to exercise authority for 42 months. It opened its mouth to utter blasphemies against God, blaspheming his name and his dwelling, that is, those who dwell in heaven. Satan does his greatest work with words. Satan uses people to communicate words. He'll speak through the Antichrist. He'll speak against God. He'll speak proud, arrogant words. Daniel says he will make arrogant boasts, and he will defiantly and arrogantly speak out against God. And he's limited in time, though. God permits the Antichrist to have this control for 42 months. It'll be the final 3.5 years of the tribulation when the Antichrist will be permitted to have the satanic power and influence. This is all sovereignly controlled by God. But then we lastly come to the beast's activities, and look at verse 7 with me. Also, it was allowed to make war on the saints and to conquer them, and authority was given it over every tribe and people and language and nation. So it's going to wage war against the saints. It's going to be given to him. God is the one who permits this. And he'll overcome the saints by verbal and physical assaults. And he'll have authority over the whole world. He'll have worldwide control over every tribe, people, language, nation. He'll have the total law of the world. He'll be the ultimate world leader. And then verse 8 tells us that he'll be worshipped by all unbelievers worldwide. Look at verse 8 with me. And all who dwell on the earth will worship it. Everyone whose name has not been written before the foundation of the world in the book of the life of the Lamb who was slain. So every unsaved person in the world will worship the Antichrist. Every person whose name is not found in the book of life will worship him. And it's a sovereign book of salvation. And it's something that is written, and it's going to be taken care of and done. But now we see that the Antichrist will be executed. It says, if anyone is taken captive, anyone has an ear to hear, let him hear. If anyone is taken captive, to captivity he goes. If anyone is to be slain with the sword, with the sword must he be slain. And here is a call for the endurance and faith of those. And so at this time, the Antichrist will feature death and killing and captivity. And we will see as we continue to work down through these days that God is going to have some things more to say about this beast and another beast that's going to come into play as we look at that next time.